the Yes to Life show on UK Health Radio. I'm Robin Daly, host for this show and also founder of the UK charity Yes to Life, has been advocating for integrative cancer care in the UK for 20 years. Anyone who's come across the concept of integrative medicine will know that one of the major planks of this type of care is nutrition. And so much airtime on this show has been given over to aspects of nutrition, which is indeed a vast topic with many nuances and a growing body of science behind it. Today's show is in that territory, but looked at not so much from the angle of any particular diet or effect from a food type, but more from the point of view of our relationship to food and the way we choose ingredients and work with them to make our meals. My guest today is a hugely inspiring chef whose enthusiasm for and love of cooking is highly infectious. So if you're interested in deepening your relationship with food and nature, listen on as I introduce you to Hayley North.
Hi Hayley, brilliant to have you as my guest on the show.
Thank you, Robin. It's an absolute joy to be here and to be doing some workshops for the Yes to Life charity. Thank you for having me.
Our pleasure. So it's a bit of a first for me, I think. The first time I've had a chef as my guest on the show. So at our conference, recent conference, you provided us with a great lunchtime cook-along. This was actually my initiation into the world of cook-alongs. I'd never heard of one before then. In which people kind of make their own lunch with you, following your guidance. So let's be clear at the beginning of the show, you don't make any claims to be any sort of cancer expert, but you do know a massive amount about nutrition, about food preparation, and about eating that plays to the foundations of health and well-being.
Yes.
This is information that's useful to anyone wanting to live a long and healthy life. But much of it's particularly important to those who are struggling to regain their health and well-being in the face of a chronic disease like cancer. So that made a reasonable picture of where we're starting from today.
Yeah, thank you.
Good. Okay. So having watched your work, that was both at our conference and more recently in our online well-being sessions, what comes through in spades from you is just how passionate you are about food and cooking. Is this passion something that you just realized was there, sort of uncovered one day? Or was there something in particular that sparked it off?
Yeah, it's something that has grown in my own life and has then gone on to become my work, which seems to be the theme of my life, actually, that wherever my own life path has gone, it has become the work that I then go on to share with others. And food has been an absolutely enormous part of that. I mean, I worked in the general catering industry for many, many years, you know, before I came across a more healthy, nutritious way of eating and cooking. Through that journey, through my own journey, and just realizing how important food and nutrition is, and home cooking, and realizing that for myself and my own life and the big difference that made in my own life, I've just been compelled to share that with other people, and it's become my work and a real passion. It's the priority of my daily life,
right?
You know, food and what I'm going to eat. And many people actually, when I'm at work, say, do you actually eat like this yourself? And it's like, yes, that is first and foremost,
right?
You know, and then that's when I then go on to share that with other people. It comes from an embodied place as opposed to...
As I do.
Yeah, exactly.
Very good. So along the way, you've no doubt engaged in some sorts of learning or training involving food. What have you actually done?
Well, I never trained professionally as a chef, but I have worked in catering since I was 14 years old, actually. So that is a good 40 years or so. And... what catalyzed me into understanding food and nutrition on a whole other level of understanding was my introduction to yoga in 1999 and the doors that opened up in terms of, like I said, understanding food and nutrition from another place. Prior to that, I was working for many years, as I just mentioned, in the mainstream catering industry. And so it's just become something that I've always done in terms of working with food. And then, as I said, through the yoga journey, and then it changing my own life. And then but through that, I started to learn a lot about what was actually happening with our food in terms of the food industry, how food's grown, how food's produced, and a lot of what's going on behind the scenes there that was starting to come to my attention that I had no idea about, the kind of pesticides and chemicals and the processing and the refined foods. And I was absolutely blown away, angry, frustrated, and just yet then it became a really big kind of mission in my life, if you like, to share what I was learning with other people,
and
because it was making such a huge difference to me.
Right. Excellent. Some people listening might making a leap from yoga to nutrition might not be an obvious one. Do you want to explain what the effect that studying yoga had on you that opened up this whole world to you?
Yeah, of course. Well, through in the yoga path, you know, yoga is not, it's a science of life. It's a way of living. So it's not just a physical practice, which can often be very misunderstood, especially these days, as there's a lot of different kinds of the physical aspect of yoga. But it's one tiny part of the whole philosophy of yoga and the way of life of yoga. And food is an enormous part of that whole way of living, food and nutrition. In fact, it's fundamental, absolutely crucial. You know, that what we're putting into our bodies actually becomes who we are. You know, it makes up our skin, our hair, our nails, our thoughts, our feelings, our emotions, our everything. It's everything. So kind of health and well-being fundamentally starts there. And alongside studying yoga, I also became interested in Chinese medicine and Taoism and Qigong and Tai Chi. And also there, food is fundamental. It's like the foundation of everything. Yeah, so through those two doorways, I started to understand what's known as like the energetics of food and looking at the nutrition of food from a different way than we look at it in the West. I mean, it sits beautifully side by side by it, but it's a different lens. And it's looking more at the vitality of food from an energetic perspective. It just made so much sense to me. And I delved deeper into that. And then, alongside the practices of yoga, Tai Chi, meditation, Qigong, then, and food sitting as one of those practices, as kin to those practices, you know, not separate from at all, very much part of the full picture. And it made a huge difference to my life and continues to do so on a daily basis.
Yeah, it's interesting you say how well they sit alongside each other. That kind of East meets West is a bit like integrative medicine is as a whole, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's another lens, if you like,
which
you can bring in, and it's not either or, it's both. Both things are useful perspectives that can help people. Mm. Okay, great. So you, as I mentioned at the start, you don't see yourself as any kind of cancer expert, and yet you do have your own personal experience of cancer that I wonder if you'd mind sharing with us a bit about it, as well as the part that nutrition and cooking played in that, if any.
Yes, well, sadly, over the past 6 years or so, I've lost both parents to cancer and been with them both through their end-of-life journey. And food and cooking wasn't necessarily an important part of their journey, my mum and dad's journey specifically, but absolutely the role I was able to play, particularly in my mum's journey, how I was able to, because we cared for her at home, whereas my mum was in a hospice, and there was a lot of the extended family. She had a large family, so that were around every single day, and I was able to really nourish everybody. For some reason, I became the person during the day where everybody was there and everyone was around, and there was a constant flow of people in and out of the house. I would be there just cooking, just feeding people, just nourishing people, and my mum would just say, keep going, keep cooking, keep feeding them, keep making everybody, you know, keep sustaining everybody in the way that you do. So although it wasn't, but what I was able to see actually was during their time in hospital in the hospice that the kind of food that was being served, not to take anything away from the marvelous jobs that everyone does in those environments, but I'm just constantly gobsmacked by the lack of nutrition, of how that nutrition and food is not a higher priority in those environments in terms of supporting the well-being and the journey during cancer, during illness, during treatment, whether that's moving to end of life and palliative care or whether that's, you know, just a shorter period of time.
Right. Well, it's certainly, you know, from what I gather, it's better in hospices than it is in hospitals, the whole nutrition aspect. But in hospitals, it's an outright war, basically. It hasn't finished the battle. But nutritionists are still like, you know, don't dare set foot across the threshold.
Yes.
And it's nutrition versus medicine, basically. And, you know, they're never going to, well, I hope never's not the right word, but there isn't currently any view of food as medicine, and they would like it to stay that way. But actually, it's got to change, and we're pushing hard for that change to happen, as are many, many people. Because, yeah, well, it's not even true. It's just, it's not based on science.
Yes, it's really unfortunate because, as you say, when it's integrative, it's just so much more beneficial for everybody. And I had in 2021, I broke my leg quite badly and I was in hospital for 3 weeks myself. And so during that time, I'm very lucky that a partner and a friend fed me and bought me food on a daily basis, because there was no way I was eating anything that was coming round on that trolley. And again, I was just so sad, frustrated, gobsmacked by what was coming in and being fed to people. And, you know, knowing with all my experience and background of working in the catering industry in many different environments, how easy it could be to provide something else. It doesn't have to take a huge operation or be super expensive or be difficult to do. You know, it can be simple and it can be nourishing and it can work out on budget. And I know all of this stuff from my experience. So sitting there in the bed just watching all of this happening was just breaking my heart.
Yeah. So some of the absolute basics for human recovery, which is good nutrition, rest and peace. These things are just not really there in hospitals. It's just like crazy stuff.
Yeah. Yes.
It's amazing. People do recover despite all that.
Oh, it's incredible, isn't it? Yeah.
Really testament to the human spirit and body.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So, the first thing that's really obvious about your approach to cookery is the aspect that you won't hear about in your mainstream cook show or book. You're very mindful of your relationship with the food you're preparing and of how you're preparing and cooking the food. So would you like to tell us a little about this and why it's important to you?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, over the years, with my passion of kind of researching the food industry, watching what's going on in the world in terms of what people are eating, how people are eating, just my lack of being able to really understand why we're so disconnected from our kitchen and from the food that we're eating. Like, how has that happened? I wonder about this a lot and deeply. And I travel a lot with the work that I do. So it's not just in one location I'm seeing this. I'm seeing this around the world, you know, because I travel to different countries. So it's not just in the UK or in one town in the UK or one area. This is across the board, the huge disconnection with food and home cooking. And I wonder, like, as I said, deeply, why is this happening? How has this happened? How have we come to this? And what's the cost of this? So the cooking, I find, is such a profound way of reconnecting to the earth, to the soil, to life, rekindling our relationship with life itself through the ingredients that we then ingest as food into our bodies, that I say become who we are. It's an incredible alchemical relationship, when we really look at it deeply, that we have with food, and that, you know, like I said, the beings of the land that then come in to nourish us, and that when we stop and pay attention to that, you know, food and cooking and what we're eating becomes something else completely. It becomes very creative, very exciting, very, dare I say it, kind of sacred. And for me, it's an absolute spiritual practice. Cooking has become a spiritual practice with when we understand it on this level of connection and relationship with the land and with the earth, from which we seem to be becoming more and more and more disconnected from. That it's a way of regaining that and remembering that and bringing that back into our lives. And it has, I've watched it time and time again, not just for myself, but with the many people that I feed and nourish and work with one-to-one, the transformative difference that that makes to our life when we start to engage with it on that level.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Start your day the right way with Revive Active's range of super supplements and get the most out of life. Take one power-packed sachet mixed with water and enjoy a super tasty health drink at work, at home or on the go. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to optimize your health and well-being to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health and more. No filler, no stimulants, no artificial colours or preservatives. Just the right mix of vitamins, minerals, amino acids and hero ingredients to help you put back what life takes out. Try our 7-day or 30-day boxes and use code UKRADIO to get a free supplement shaker. Revive Active. Super supplements for a super you.
Nature's Medicine for Modern Living, a people and plants dialogue hosted by Sophie.Health. At Sophie, we bring together experts and voices who rarely cross paths. Our quest is to illuminate the ancient world of plant medicine and reimagine it for the connected age. Join us to explore new boundaries of digital personalized medicine with deep roots in the natural world. And hear from our community of international pioneers who are validating this new paradigm and improving how we feel, sleep, and cope with daily stresses naturally. Sophie.Health, reconnecting people and plants.
Once upon a time, human slavery was just a fact of life. Right now, animal abuse is often considered normal. In time, it won't be. Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living.
Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Yeah, so the disconnection you speak of is something that more and more people are becoming aware of, and its effect on us as people.
Yeah.
Not a great thing. I mean, you know, people are disappearing into the world of the virtual more and more these days. They're becoming completely fragmented in their lifestyle. They don't have consistency. They move about all the time. They change jobs all the time. They change partners all the time. You know, less and less things become sort of grounding and stable. And it's a tough one, really. It doesn't do us terribly well. And yeah, this disconnection from what we eat, having no idea where it came from, how it's made, even, you know, down to what it is, you know, it's just like extraordinary. So I'm very struck by something you said twice. I wrote it down because I've heard you say it before, but it's absolutely obvious on one level, but actually we don't think like that, which is that this food is going to make up our body.
Yeah.
We don't look at that. It's stuff that goes in and comes out.
You know? Yes, it's exactly.
Like supply. Yes. You know, that's how we look at it. So it's like fuel, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it might be enjoyable fuel, but that's how it goes. We don't actually think of us being made up from the chemicals and the substances in the food, and getting our life force from the life of the food. It suddenly becomes a bit esoteric when you think about that. And it's like it's a bit of a mystery. But it's a great way to confront people with just taking a fresh look at food. What are they doing here? Are they taking it as it really is, as important as it really is? So, yeah, I love you talking about that.
Yeah, because otherwise food can be seen, as you said, it's just fuel. It's just, you know, I need to put something in to kind of fuel the vehicle. But when we stop, I remember when I first really, that really first landed in me, and I was like, wow, that is really incredible. That's something else that I want to know more about that. And it was through like the Ayurvedic path, the yoga path, the Taoist path, you know, the Chinese medicine, where that is really a huge part. That's the lens that they look at food through. So that started to make more sense. And then, like you said, at first it sounds very kind of cosmic and esoteric and woo, kind of far out there. But actually, what those two approaches are brilliant at is it explaining it in a very kind of simple way that, you know, it's a way of looking at the cycles of nature and how things relate and interact in the natural world, and food, you know, and plants are part of that, so they're part of the same elemental kind of picture. And actually it's very kind of simple to understand once we start to look at it. And what my passion was and has been in studying these two approaches is how, you know, if these are principles that are fundamentally rooted in nature, then they apply to food across the board, not just to Indian cuisine or to Chinese cuisine or Japanese cuisine. It's food in general. And then when we start to look at traditional food practices and different, you know, traditional cultures and food in culture, it's all there. You know, it's particularly, for instance, like I've spent a lot of time in Italy. And when you look at traditional Italian cooking, all of those elemental principles are there in the cuisine. And they used to be there in British cooking and British cuisine too. It's just, you know, and more Western cuisines that have become a little bit more kind of, I say, processed and refined foods and more convenience foods. But traditionally, this understanding and this wisdom was there.
Right. Yeah, yeah, built in.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting that the way you talk about cooking, it spills over into an area that gets discussed on this program quite often, which is our relationship to nature.
Yeah.
It doesn't. They're not talking about cooking usually. It's more like getting out in nature and enjoying it and reconnecting with it. But you're talking much the same stuff here, but with the nature that we actually put inside ourselves.
Absolutely. It's right there in our kitchen. You know, it's in our homes. And that is every mealtime that we step into the kitchen to relate with these ingredients and connect with them. And this is our opportunity to connect with nature and to, you know, give thanks to the land, to give thanks to, you know, everything, to the sun, to the rain, to the wind, to everything that's played a part, to all the nutrients in the soil, to the microbiome, to the fungi and the bacteria of the soil, everything that's played a part in bringing those ingredients to our kitchen, to our chopping boards, to our plates. What an incredible gift. What an incredible opportunity to have that every day.
Right, right. Yeah, well, you use lots of great ways of describing your excitement about this. You talk about the dance and the flow and the alchemy of cooking, the creativity in it, the synergy of cooking.
Yeah.
But you do talk about cooking as therapeutic, though. So do you want to just say a bit more about why you see it as therapeutic?
Yes. Well, I think fundamentally that this reconnection with nature and with the land through the ingredients is therapeutic in itself. You know, that is deeply, deeply nourishing. And then, of course, first of all, I understand that cooking can be incredibly stressful for people. That's a lot what I work with people. They say, it's stressful. I don't like it. I don't have time. All the factors that we think are against us.
Okay.
When we get in the kitchen, you know, that this is a hassle. I've got to get it done as quickly as possible. For cooking to become therapeutic, something needs to change in that mindset. This is a gift to ourselves, that this is, if I make time for this in my life, the benefits of it are going to be so huge. You know, then I can approach it in a different way, because we've got to slow down for it to become therapeutic. We can't go into the kitchen space, be like, you know, rushing 100 miles an hour, doing 20 different things at once, wishing we were not there and wishing we were doing something else. So first of all, you know, even if we only have 30 minutes to prepare a meal, you know, it doesn't mean to say we've suddenly got to have hours and hours and hours of time in the kitchen, but it's the way we approach that time and the mindset that we come to it with. So I think for it to become therapeutic and a nourishing act, something has to change in the mindset if we see cooking as stressful, time-consuming, inconvenient, etc., etc. Then once that drops away, then it's like, actually, this is a nourishing place to be. This gives me joy. It gives me life. It gives me energy being here and doing this and doing it for myself, not just here cooking everybody else's meals, the family's meal, cooking for somebody else. First of all, doing this for myself, that this is the greatest gift that I could give myself today. And then, so I think there's a lot of mindset shifts that have to happen.
I see that. So basically, anybody who's already got over the idea that it's maybe worth allocating a little bit of time for meditation or for going out for a walk, or for doing a little bit of yoga, this is just one of those.
Yes.
In fact, should be exactly the same way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, people often say to me, what do you prefer, Hayley? Do you prefer doing and teaching yoga, or do you prefer doing cooking? And I'm like, well, it's the same. You know, it's same practice. It's meditation in action. It's yoga in action. It's, you know, if you're at one with what you are doing, i.e. fully present and fully engaged in what we're doing, fully there, then that is yoga in action. Absolutely. That is, then cooking can become a meditative act. And then you get into the dance, you get into the flow, you get into the synergy, and it becomes a life-giving thing. You feel boosted by it. You feel energized by it. You feel powerful. Let me say that. You feel, because the disconnection from food, the power that the food industry can have over us by making food convenient, disempowers us. We might think it empowers us by freeing up time and making it convenient, but it's not. It's a backward kind of thought process. It's disempowering. But when we get back in and we start to see the act of cooking as a gift to ourselves, then it becomes empowering and we feel like superheroes.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Stop suffering with pet-related allergies when near dogs and cats. Great news, you can feel safe around pets with Nasal Guard for pet lovers. Nasal Guard topical gel blocks pet dander, hair, and dust mites from entering your nasal passages. Try Nasal Guard for pet lovers today. Visit Amazon or nasalguard.co.uk to learn more about Nasal Guard spray and gel products. Again, that's nasalguard.co.uk.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
All right, so I want to dwell for a moment on the topic of real food. There's always a lot of froth about the subject of food or diagnosis and what's the right or the best diet, and nowhere more so than in cancer, of course. So in one way, that's absolutely fair enough, given the emerging evidence for, say, reducing your carbohydrate intake drastically as a strategy for undermining some cancers. It really can do stuff. But all too often, to my mind, the attention is not on the quality of the food, its freshness, its wholesomeness, how close it to nature it is. And this, to my mind, can be the elephant in the room. The sort of classic example that comes to my mind all too readily is that of someone who chooses veganism for health and philosophical reasons, but then eats what amounts to absolute junk food just because it's got a vegan logo on it. So can you talk to us about food choices and what you're looking for in the food you buy or indeed grow?
Yeah, I mean, for me, this is great because the food, the choices in general, our choices is where our power is. And, you know, we all think, we'll say that we want change. And this is where the change starts. It's not going to change from the top and come down and submit. Everything's been changed for you. We have to change and we have the power to change with every penny that we spend, with every choice that we make. That, for me, is, you know, the revolutionary political like aspect of food and eating, of anything really, but relating to food and eating. We have so much power we don't even realize in the choices that we're making. So what am I looking for? I'm looking to support people who are doing good things. Yeah, so I really choose wisely where my money goes when it comes to what I'm buying. I want to support people who care about what they're doing. You know, even if I eat out, which is not very often because of that reason, but I will look hard and search hard for places to go to give my money to people who actually care about what they're doing and care about what they're giving to people. The same with when I'm buying ingredients and produce by people who are growing it, or shops that are sourcing from people who care about what they're growing, and then they care about what they're selling, and I care about what I'm buying, and then there's this beautiful chain, you know, and you can feel that in the ingredients and in the food itself. It has a different vitality to it. So, yeah, first of all, our choices are incredibly powerful. And what I'm looking for in the food that I buy, alongside what I just spoke about there, is, yeah, seasonality, of course, because when we stick as much as possible to what's available seasonally, we naturally become more aligned and more connected to the cycles of nature. that just happens, you know, it just happens naturally by honouring what's available seasonally. And that can take some re-educating because we're so used to now having what we want when we want it available all the time, all throughout the year.
Yeah.
So that plays a huge part with what's available locally or nationally. So, you know, what's available within our area and then what's, you know, for instance, in England, what's British grown, and then kind of minimizing as much as possible what's coming from afar. So, again, the choices that we make have that impact on the wider picture of sustainability and globalization, et cetera, et cetera. We can play our part in that by the choices that we're making. Stay more local, stay national as much as possible, or rein that chain in a little bit. And yeah, I'm looking for ingredients that sing to me when I'm out shopping.
What does that mean?
They just speak to you. They're just bursting with vitality. It's again, that can sound quite woo-woo and kind of, woo, that's a bit far out and a bit cosmic. But when we start to engage with the vitality of ingredients, looking at their colour, at their freshness, picking them up, smelling them, just taking a moment to look and appreciate, then this comes alive a little bit more. I understand it can sound maybe intangible at first to start with, but when we start engaging with it, it becomes tangible and becomes real very quickly. There's a certain, the vitality, you can feel ingredients that feel very dull and lacking, and those that are just bursting with freshness, with goodness, with that energy.
Yeah, right. Just to go back on the thing you said about local, obviously there are sustainability benefits from buying locally, and you know, you're not contributing to load of pollution, moving the stuff around. I don't have any basis for this, but I have a sort of thing which makes me think that when I get some of my next door neighbor's honey, which is made by the bees that fly around my house, that's good. And when I drink some water that's actually come from the spring just over the road from me, that's also good. What do you think about that stuff?
Absolutely wonderful. What could be better than that? I mean, that's the ultimate, isn't it? When it's just either picked freshly from the tree, you know, freshly from the garden, or from our neighbours across the road, or yeah, from down at the local allotment, or yeah, the local honey. I mean, that's absolutely the ultimate, really, I think, what we're looking for, and that's where the goodness is, and the vitality and the vibrancy, and that's where our kind of inner biome, our inner environment is then more in sync with
our local
and immediate environment.
No, I sort of feel that intuitively. I haven't got real basis for it, but no science there, but I just feel like somehow energetically, at least, it's the opposite of disconnection, is to be connected to the stuff that's around about you in that way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes sense, you know, doesn't it? It just makes absolute sense,
Okay, and now one of the things we often speak about on this show is the role of intuition as a guide in your choices, as an essential way to find a way forward through the jungle of options that people with cancer face with. So would you like to say something about intuition in relation to both food choices and cooking?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, people often say to me, oh, do you have the recipe for this? Do you have the recipe for that? You know, give me your recipes. And I don't have too many recipes. I have to say, I'm not that good. I have done quite a lot of recipe development, and I even have a recipe ebook, but I find it very difficult to pin things down to, like, you know, a set amount of things. And I find that following a recipe to the letter, to the T, in the kitchen takes me out of this flow, this dance, this synergy in the kitchen. It feels more rigid and clunky. And then you can get fixated on the recipe and like, oh, but I don't have this and I don't have that. And then I feel like that's also a bit disempowering, because it's not enabling me to make, well, what could I use instead of that? And what about if I did this? And actually, I don't want that much sugar in my cake. So I'm actually going to take that down. And I know that, you know, and I feel confident enough within myself to be able to do that. I'm not just, you know, like, well, the recipe doesn't say that I could do that, so I shouldn't do that.
Right.
So, you know, being more intuitive enables us to get into that therapeutic space in the kitchen, to be more in the flow, to be more fluid with things, and to feel more empowered that, like, actually I can listen to what feels right in me here and not just what's written down in this magazine or this book or this piece of paper, that actually right now I want to do this and that feels right, and then that's what I'm going to do.
Right. So it's a very much a way of bringing creativity into it.
Oh, cooking is so creative. So creative. I mean, it's artistry, you know, really. And the more and more that I do it for myself and for work, I feel more and more like an artist, you know, and an alchemist, because it's just so creative.
Mm. Okay, well, look, in contrast to that, let's go to the other end of the spectrum now, and we'll talk the science of the nutritional content of food and the way that particular ingredients can impact your health and well-being. Well, obviously, you know this stuff, and it is an ingredient of your work, an aspect of it. So how important do you think it is for people generally to appreciate the nutritional content of foods?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, nutrition is a massive part of what I do and what I'm interested in. However, I connect much more to the energetic way of looking at food. I appreciate the Western understanding of nutrition, and I have my wonderful guide and mentor, Kirsten Winmatt, who is just an awesome nutritionist and understands science of it incredibly, and he's able to translate that to people in a very understandable way. Whereas my brain doesn't work so much like that. And I find that when we eat seasonally, pick fresh, you know, vital ingredients that are bursting with vitality, that we are listening to our bodies, that's a huge one, instead of looking outside of ourselves and following the latest trends, or that this says now that I need to eat more of this, or now I shouldn't be eating this, and now this is the food to be eating. Instead, more learning how to listen to ourselves, noticing how we eat, how we're shopping, the whole environment, how we're cooking. So it's not just the ingredients themselves, but all those factors around it. Looking at colour, looking at the different textures, you know, having that whole variety. Then the nutrition, see, it's there, you know, without us having to know too much about all that incredible science and all, you know, all that detail, that it then just happens. It's there on the plate. It's there in the kitchen.
But like you're saying, there's some ground rules we can follow about the way we choose our food that will actually ensure that we get good nutrition.
Yes, definitely. I mean, I love to look at a whole, I think Rudolf Steiner did some wonderful work around this, which was looking at the different aspects of, say, plants, for instance. You know, from the roots to the stems, to the leaves, to the fruits, to the seeds, to the nuts. And just when that's a big part of how I look at food too, and to ensure that all of those aspects are included, not necessarily in every meal, but in my diet as a whole, and in how I cook meals for people, that I look, okay, are all those parts of the plants present?
Yeah.
You know, and so that, because we can get fixed on just, you know, if you look at that, I've never looked at that before, but actually, yeah, I eat a lot of roots, but I hardly eat any leaves, you know, or I eat tons of seeds, but I never actually eat any root vegetable, you know, anything that's roots. So things that are grown underneath the earth, underneath the soil, things that grow closer to the sun, the things that crawl along the surface of the ground, the things that climb, you know, plants that are very tight and compact, like cabbages, for instance, and then those that have much more, their leaves are much more spread. And how the plants grow is incredible, what Rudolf Steiner did around all of that. It's just very fascinating.
The energetics of these different...
Yes, exactly, and how the things grow. And so I find that then as well, when you have that whole variety, that's also then the nutrition becomes, you know, present in terms of the different aspects of nutrition. But yes, looking at, okay, that I've got enough fiber in my diet, that the protein's there, that the, you know, the macronutrients and the micronutrients, that you're getting enough, and then that they're all there in, and all represented in the meals. Mm. Yes.
Okay, look, just about to finish, but we mustn't end without mentioning that, as you said in the beginning, you're running some well-being workshops for Yes to Life under the title Seasonal Nutritional and Mindful Cooking. Would you tell our listeners what they can expect of these?
Yeah, wonderful. I'm just absolutely very honoured to be invited to come and offer these workshops for you. So we did one in the spring. We have another one, the summer workshop, coming up on July the 11th.
Mm-hmm.
And so I cook about four dishes, four different recipes, live on the Zoom call, and the listeners are able to either cook along with me or to obviously have the recording, watch the video, and do that at a later date. And yeah, I just get into my flow in the kitchen and just try to demonstrate really the, not just the recipe themselves and the nutritional aspects of the recipe and why they're good for us and that healthy eating, et cetera, but this aspect of being present, getting into the flow, into the synergy, the mindfulness of cooking, and how cooking can become an empowering, therapeutic, nourishing act as opposed, yeah, and let's take the stress out. Let's make it enjoyable and joyful and to really appreciate it as one of the greatest gifts that we can give ourselves right now.
You've sold it very well. Okay. All you listeners who are hungry to find out more, go to the Yes to Life website. That's yestolife.org.uk. Click the I'm New Here menu and choose Wellbeing Sessions, and you'll find Hayley there. So, look, thanks so much for opening your window to a completely different relationship to food and food prep. Really inspirational, Hayley. And I'm sure you will have affected the way that many people listening think about their food choices and the way they approach cooking. So big thanks.
Thank you, Robert. It's an absolute joy to talk to you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, I did warn you that Hayley's enthusiasm was infectious. So remember that if you'd like to watch her at work in the kitchen, she's taking part in our Yes to Life Wellbeing Sessions, which you can find out about by visiting the Yes to Life website, that's yestolife.org.uk, clicking on Our Services near the top of the homepage, and then choosing Wellbeing Sessions. Hayley's sessions are titled Nutrition and Mindful Cooking. Thanks for listening today. I'll be back again next week with another expert guest. And if you'd like further listening before then, if you visit the show page on our website, again, that's yestolife.org.uk, again, click Our Services near the top of the homepage, and then choose the Yes to Life show. And there you can sample more than 450 back editions of the show and search through the archive by guest name, topic, or keyword to find the material that interests you. Please do join me again next week for another Yes to Life show here on UK Health Radio. Goodbye. Thank you.